joined by another legend right now. He is a national college football writer at CBSSports.com. He is a friend of the program. He is Dennis Dodd. Dennis, what's going on? How are you?
Tim, go Badgers. I am great.
Appreciate that, too. All right, so there were a couple of games last weekend, but the college football season gets underway in earnest this weekend. Dennis, let's get this out of the way first. Can we just skip the entire season and go right to another Clemson-Alabama rematch, or do you see it playing out differently this year?
I think Alabama and Clemson are going to be in the playoff, and, you know, it would probably meet either in the semifinal or final, obviously, but they've clearly separated themselves from the pack. Now, you know, the injury to Dylan Moses at linebacker Alabama this week, you know, throws a monkey in there. But, I still think they're head and shoulders above, and I think Clemson is clearly the number one program in the country right now.
Dennis Dodd, my guest. I'm going to follow you up on that in a minute, but let's go back to Dylan Moses. It was announced that he suffered what expects to be a season-ending injury on Tuesday. The thinking, Dennis, for years has been that Alabama is so deep that their second string can beat most teams' first string. But break this down. How big of a loss is that for Nick Saban?
Well, there's two different views of this. And, you know, right now, you know, going into the opener against Duke, it's not a big deal. They're going to beat Duke. They're going to beat 9, 10, 11 teams on their schedule just because, oh, by the way, they may have the best offense in the country. They will be able to outscore teams despite any defensive deficiencies they have. The concern is you've still got to play A&M. You've still got to play Georgia, theoretically, in the SEC championship game. We just talked about Clemson. And this is an Alabama defense that very quietly is coming off its worst performance since Nick's first year in 2007. Alabama was 16th total defense. Sounds good, but the worst since 2007. Now Dylan Moses is out for the year, and you're starting two true freshmen at linebacker. You know, so you go from Dylan Moses, a guy who was a consensus preseason All-American, to Shane Lee, who's the next guy on the depth chart, who's never taken a snap in college. Now, again, it's not going to matter against Duke, but at some point it is. And that's a key position on the field. Shane Lee is a four-star out of Baltimore. He runs a 4.7, which according to, I guess, the recruiting people, is the best at his position in the country. But I don't know what any of that means when Trevor Lawrence is, you know, throwing a crossing pattern.
Dennis Dodd is joining us. All right, then. Go back to the other point that you made. Dennis, for a while, Alabama was held up as the gold standard and the model by which every program was measured. Has Clemson ripped that mantle from them?
Right now, in this moment, yes. I did a piece that was up yesterday. I went out to Clemson in the offseason and just wondered, what does it mean to be number one? Just the unmitigated joy of being Clemson. And they've got things so wired right now. One of the biggest points I make is they just plucked for the 2020 class, I think, the best quarterback on the West Coast from Southern California. Not only did they get him, my question is, when was the last time Clemson signed anyone from California? And that's just one example. You know, they've got Trevor Lawrence, who could probably play in the NFL right now. Travis Etienne, a preseason All-American. The defensive line is gone. All of them are in the NFL right now. And I don't know if they drop off that much. And Dabo's just recruiting like a madman. So right now, yes, they have the best program in the country. How that plays out, I think we'll have to wait till the playoffs.
Dennis Dodd is joining us once again. All right, so back to Alabama, Dennis, for a minute. What do you think that Nick Saban thinks when he looks back on last season, and in particular, that beatdown at the hands of Clemson?
Well, it's right now it's motivation to get back, but as I wrote that night, you know, look, it was significant. It was the worst loss of the Nick Saban era at Alabama. Trevor Lawrence and company shredded a secondary that was just not up to the task. I think for Alabama's case, they obviously need to get better. The standard is Clemson. And, you know, Nick said in the offseason, you know, motivation can be a good thing if you handle it right. You know, they've had 10-win seasons where he disparaged the team because they didn't win the championship. Everybody wasn't focused. There was a little of that last year. And I asked him at SEC Media Days. I had him on camera, and I finally said, does Clemson deserve credit for any of this? You know, yeah. Agents were around the program. They're not focused. And he said, oh, yeah, as soon as they got Trevor Lawrence, things seemed to change for him. And part of me wanted to say, you think? So, you know, we'll see. Alabama's very, very good. Nick is just as dedicated. But cracks are starting to show. You know, they've had these injuries now. Can you get over that at linebacker? The secondary, I think, is better because of a year's experience. They're very good in the offensive line. And Tua, again, if he's not the best player in the country, he might be number two. So they set up pretty well.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd for a few more moments. All right, so there's some interesting matchups this weekend. None more so, Dennis, than Oregon taking on Auburn Saturday in Texas. How important is that game, not just for Oregon, but for the entire Pac-12?
It's huge for both sides. For Oregon, look, they understand the mantle that they have now. They're really playing for the Pac-12 right now early in the season. It became very easy to dismiss the Pac-12 last year when they lost their opener on a neutral field in a close game to Auburn. But it became very easy for the national media to just forget about the Pac-12 at that point. Same with Oregon. Now, Utah plays BYU tonight in a big rivalry game, and a lot of people think Utah or Oregon are going to win the league, so that's in play. But, you know, I don't know if Mario Cristobal is thinking about that at all, but they just want to get the program, keep the program on track. But look, you have a situation where the Pac-12, before it starts entertaining thoughts about being in the playoffs, has to get a dominant team. They have to get a 12-1 team that competes for those top four. Jim, in the last 2 years, that's 24 chances for their teams. They've had one finish the season with less than three losses, and that was Washington State last year at 11-2. So they have to get that dominant team.
We are talking to Dennis Dodds. Dennis, also another good matchup this weekend. You've got Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma opening up against Houston Sunday. What about that fit? How do you like that fit for Hurts and for Oklahoma?
Well, that's the biggest question going into the game, Jim, and I'm in Oklahoma right now previewing the game. I think the biggest question is, what kind of thrower is Jalen Hurts? I mean, he has a ring at Alabama, SEC Freshman of the Year, we know that, but lost the job, you know, because of Tua. And he's coming into Oklahoma replacing consecutive Heisman Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I just looked it up. Combined, the last 2 years completed 70% of their passes and an 8-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Jalen Hurts was merely, quote unquote, a 63% passer and 4-1 ratio at Alabama. I think it all revolves around him. They're going to have one of the best tandems at running back. And Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks. The defense can't be any worse because it was horrible last year. They allowed the most passing yards in the country. So I think under Alex Grinch, the new coordinator, they'll be better. But I think it all revolves around Jalen Hurts, so we'll see.
You know, to your point also, the last two quarterbacks at Oklahoma have won the last two Heisman trophies,
yep.
And they've done it in Lincoln Riley's first and second year as a head coach. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about this guy. He is brilliant. He is a brilliant, brilliant coach. Listen, one last thought, Dennis, before you go. You covered Andrew Luck when he was at Stanford. How would you describe him to somebody who has never met him?
Cerebral, talented, an extension of his father, Oliver, who was like that as a person, as an administrator, and as an athlete. As I tweeted this week, I have, look, absolutely nothing bad to say about him retiring. Anybody who's played sports, either professionally or as an amateur, knows that cycle of when you get hurt, rehab, get hurt again, go through that. I totally sympathize with him, and he's got nothing to prove to anyone, and shame on those Colts fans who booed him. I tweeted, I assume that those who booed were equally under 30, were paid more money, and had never been injured before. I can only assume those are the people booing, because anybody else doesn't have a leg to stand on. He had a great career. And I think, frankly, Jim, we're going to see more of this. I mean, it's not big, bad football, but it is football. And look, it's bigger, faster, stronger. 30 years ago, we never talked about guys dying playing football. Now, it's a scourge in the amateur ranks in high school and college. They've got to get rid of that. And it's going to happen someday again in pro football. So football is not bad, but neither is Andrew Luck.
100%, and we will be seeing more of this and talking more about this. Dennis, we have not spoken since your beloved St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. Were you able to get a day with the Cup? And how did you celebrate?
Yeah, I did not get a day with the Cup. I did cover Game 4, so that was a treat. That was the one they won 4-2 to even the series 2-2. But the city that's first in brews finally got something to put in the cup to drink it. So waited 49 years. Was it 49 years since the 1970 finals to get back in, and then finally won the cup. I can. What was the sign at the 94 finals with the New York Rangers? I can die in peace now.
He's a national college football writer for CBSSports.com. A very good friend of the program, too, Dennis Dodd. Well done, Dennis. Have a great weekend, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Jim, thanks so much.
Great job. Dennis, appreciate you. It's Dennis Dodd all over everything that is college football. Some good matchups this weekend, too.